Blog Talk Radio.
Goodness sakes alive. If the Landy Second Lady goes off tonight, I probably will jump.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, so welcome, Blog Talk Radio. We're glad to have you with us tonight, all around the world. In all of the nations, wherever you're listening, we know that there's 53 that have connected with us. But we also know there's many more because you don't get to be recognized until you get 1% of your nation as our listening audience. So we know there's many of you. Some of the nations, it's probably dropped off. We know there's many of you still listening there because I can watch the numbers go up and down. And thank you. God bless you. Welcome. Of course, here in America, we are on
Thanksgiving.
This is Christmas Thanksgiving Eve. And tonight, if you are a part of our worship, we had Christmas music tonight for the first time in our worship. Woo-hoo. And that was a good thing. I enjoyed it. Let's see if we can go live on. No, Jesus, help me. We'll go live on YouTube in just a minute. So if you are someone that's around the world and you'd like to be a part of our worship time, it's not a joint worship. It's just, it's kind of like a kind of joint worship. And God gave me the idea, actually gave me a plan and said, do it. And that was to have worship like this and put it in a YouTube playlist so that everybody could listen to it on YouTube. And we would all be listening to the same songs, even though it would be at a different pace. And all of us would worship together with the same kind of music. That was the idea that God gave me, the plan, I guess I should say, that he gave me. I feel it works pretty good. If you're someone that has trouble being connected to it, then we'll talk about that again a little bit later here and learn how to get you connected. Those of you around the world, if you'd like to be a part of that, it's a messenger thread. And you're a part of the community of faith on a regular basis. We welcome you to it. Welcome, YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight. All of you that join us regularly on our YouTube channel, welcome, 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 welcome. We're glad to have you as part of our listening audience. And, you know, God's done a really big thing here in the last 2.5 years. And we give him the glory and the honor and the praise for everything that's been done.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I think you're probably pretty much like me. And that is, sometimes I just sit around and say, would you look at what God has done in this place? Because if you think that this is all because of me or Sister Leanne, because we're some great internet gurus, well,
it's not.
You should have sat in the office with us a few times. But thank God for his grace. Everybody want to say it? Just do it. Turn your mic on and say, thank God for his grace.
Thank God for his grace.
Because look, it, all of us have learned how to use this to a greater degree. Mm-hmm. All of us have. Every one of us. And it's such a powerful force. And, you know, for joining with us, we enjoy
making it work.
We enjoy making it work. We enjoy having you guys with us. And, you know, in heaven, Jesus said, well, he said to the disciples, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But, you know, it not only takes Jesus building his church, it takes you and I sticking together. And that takes an anointing, and that takes a grace. And I thank all of you for being a part of that in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, here's what we're going to do tonight. As you guys know, one of the most trusted historians I trust is Brother David Barton. I've never met anybody who makes history come alive like Brother David Barton. I've heard a lot of people who have a history degree that just bore the socks off you when they talk. But David and his son Tim are just alive with the joy of the history of the United States of America. So, as normally when we come to a great American day, I go over there and say, what does wall builders have to say about today? So, I've got a video I'm going to play for us. I think this video is like, what, 6 minutes long, Dave? 6 minutes long, David? I know he's here somewhere. Oh, Jesus, help me.
Who's this gentleman?
Say again?
Who's this gentleman?
Name's David Barton.
B-A-R-T?
B-A-R-T, Barton. Yeah, David Barton. We've enjoyed his teachings many times here. And
are you live on Zoom or YouTube?
We are live on YouTube. Yes, we are.
I cannot find us any place.
Want to go back to YouTube?
No, no, you don't have to go there. I'm just, Sister Leanne asked if we was live on YouTube. Actively streaming on YouTube. Would you like me to send you the link?
Well,
I'll send you the link once.
Able to find it.
I'll send you the link once we get started. But if you've been rowdy. And if you've been rebellious, we may have limited you. You never know.
I'm here now.
No, I was talking to Leanne, not you, Roger.
Oh.
You know how wild Sister Leanne gets every now and then. You know, you never know.
Well, you're making a funny.
I was making a funny, yes, Roger. Thank you. I seem to be the only one that's laughing.
All right.
People have to appreciate the kind of humor we have.
All right, so here we go. Brother David Barton, let's hear the history of Thanksgiving.
Now, America's first federal Thanksgiving occurred in 1789. America, welcome to the Glenn Beck program. I'm David Barton, filling in for Glenn tonight. Well, tomorrow's Thanksgiving Day, and many families will be spending time together, eating meals and enjoying sporting events, and hopefully remembering to stop and thank God for his many blessings. I mean, after all, Thanksgiving, which is one of America's favorite holidays, is one of our many overtly religious holidays that we officially celebrate every year. But how did we get here? That is, how did Thanksgiving become one of our most beloved celebrations? While most Americans know that this tradition goes back to the Pilgrims, times of Thanksgiving in America actually occurred long before the Pilgrims. For example, a Thanksgiving commemoration occurred 79 years before the Pilgrims in 1541 at Palo Duro Canyon, Texas, with Coronado and 1,500 of his men. Then in 1565, there was one at St. Augustine, Florida, with French Huguenots, that is, French Protestant colonists. And there was one in 1598 at El Paso, Texas, with Juan de Oñate and his expedition. And in 1607, there was a Thanksgiving celebration after settlers landed at Cape Henry, Virginia. And there was another one in 1619 at Berkeley Plantation, Virginia. And all of these Thanksgivings happened long before the Pilgrims ever arrived. But it's still from their Thanksgiving celebration of 1621 that we observe and derive the current tradition of Thanksgiving Day. Now, the Pilgrims, if you remember, had set sail for America back in September of 1620, and for 2 months they braved crossing a storm-tossed sea. After disembarking at Plymouth Rock, they had a prayer service and began hastily building shelters, but unprepared for a harsh New England winter, half of them died. Now, emerging from that grueling winter, the Pilgrims were surprised when an Indian named Samoset approached them and greeted them in their own language. Explaining to him that he had learned English from fishermen and traders, a week later, Samoset returned with a friend named Squanto, who lived with the Pilgrims and accepted their Christian faith. Squanto taught the Pilgrims much about how to live in the New World, and he and Somerset helped forge a lasting peace treaty between the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag Indians. Now, Pilgrim Governor William Bradford described Squanto as, quote, a special instrument sent of God for our good, and he never left us till he died. The Pilgrims, persevering in prayer and assisted by helpful Indians, reaped a bountiful harvest that summer. So in December of 1621, they declared a three-day feast to thank God and celebrate with their Indian friends. And this is America's first Thanksgiving celebration, not just a Thanksgiving service as the earlier ones had been. No, this was a genuine Thanksgiving festival, and it involved friends and family, athletic events, and involved meals and feasting, and involved times of prayer and religious worship. This led to an annual Thanksgiving tradition in the New England colonies. But days of Thanksgiving really didn't start spreading southward into the other colonies until the American Revolution. At that time, Congress issued 8 separate national Thanksgiving proclamations. Now, America's first federal Thanksgiving occurred in 1789 after the end of the Revolution and the adoption of the Constitution. The discussion of notable founding fathers about why they did this first federal Thanksgiving is actually found in this book. This is the Records of Congress covering 1789, and it tells us here in this book, it says, quote, Elias Boudinot said he could not think of letting the season pass without offering an opportunity to all citizens of the United States of joining with one voice and returning to Almighty God their sincere thanks for the many blessings he had poured down upon them. Also, we're told that Roger Sherman justified the practice of Thanksgiving as warranted by a number of precedents in the Holy Writ, that is the Scriptures. This example he thought worthy of Christian imitation on the present occasion. So Congress, therefore, requested President Washington to call for a day of national Thanksgiving, which he gladly did. He issued this original Thanksgiving proclamation, 1789. This is America's very first federal Thanksgiving. Now, why did President Washington do this? Why did he call for a federal Thanksgiving? Well, he explained right here in this proclamation. He said, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. Federal Thanksgiving proclamations occurred sporadically after this one, with most official Thanksgiving observances occurring at the state level rather than the federal level. Much of the credit for the adoption of our annual federal Thanksgiving holiday may be attributed to Sarah Hale, a mother of 5 and the editor of Godey's Ladies Magazine. It was a popular ladies magazine that contained poetry and artwork and articles by America's leading authors. She actively promoted the idea of a national Thanksgiving Day, and she explained in an editorial, she said, Thanksgiving Day is the national pledge of Christian faith in God, acknowledging him as the dispenser of blessings. This festival should be joyfully and universally observed throughout our whole country as inseparable from American life. For nearly 3 decades, she lobbied and wrote president after president, including President Abraham Lincoln, asking him to proclaim a federal Thanksgiving. Now, Lincoln set that precedent. He responded in 1863 with a proclamation. Here is his proclamation printed in the New York Times. He set it up for the last Thursday of November. Sound kind of familiar? He reminded Americans in this proclamation, he said, the year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. And to these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we're prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added. So no human counsel has devised any, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God. Wow. Over the next 75 years, subsequent presidents followed Lincoln's precedent, and over the course of time, annual Thanksgiving celebrations, they varied widely, and they even occurred in different months over those 75 years. But then in 1933, with this Thanksgiving proclamation by President Franklin D. Roosevelt, we began regularly celebrating Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of each November. And then in 1941, Congress permanently established that day as the National Thanksgiving Holiday. By the way, you can see all of these original historic Thanksgiving proclamations and lots of others at wallbuilders.com.
Well, look at there.
In North America, you'll notice the leaves are...
It was kind of abrupt.
Well, you know, once you're done, you're done. Like Dr. Dr. London said to one day, if you can't speak up, then sit down. But if you can't stop speaking, stand up and say something. But when you get done, sit down. That's what he said. J.D. London, right out of First Baptist Church, Saginaw, Michigan. Wonderful man of God. Now, that was... All right, I got another page here I'm looking for. Everybody just pay attention now. Somewhere here. So as you can see, I know that all of us with Brother David Barton expected that to go on for at least another 10 minutes. Somebody help me know how to stop the share. There it is. Now we're back to where we belong. Now, let's talk about a few Thanksgiving facts, all right? Because there's some very important things to remember about these pilgrims at as they began. Now, like he said, there was many Thanksgiving Day observances that were church services early on in America. And, you know, how do we remember Columbus? What was the statement? In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was 1492 when he sailed. The pilgrims came in 1620. So you and I can see that there was a little difference between those two groups of, you know, first they were, Columbus was actually an explorer and truly believed that God sent him. I know there's a lot of different opinion on that, but when you truly read the real history, that's what happens. But I want you to think about this. Thanksgiving happened as early as 1607 at Cape Cod, Cape Henry, Virginia, 1607. And the first America, the Pilgrims, reaped their first bountiful harvest I'm not on the right page because I had some very specific statements from people, but that's all right. Listen to this. One of them wrote, God be praised, we had a good increase of corn. If you'll remember, there was a point in that first winter that they were all eating 3 kernels of corn a day. That's all they had to eat. They had rationed the corn out to the degree that that was all that they had left. And they had to very, very specifically ration the corn down to where they were only eating 3 kernels of corn a day. Now, you might say, man, how do you survive on 3 kernels of corn? Well, many of them didn't. Many of them died. And I don't remember the exact number, but many died on the trip over, just on the ship. It was such a brutal time on the ship. Now, where in the world did the corpse? There it is. All right. This is Ashbel Steele. I want to read this to you. Ashbel Steele, Chief of the Pilgrims, or The Life and Time of William Brewster. This is a book, all right, an actual account. At length, autumn being far advanced and their first summer's harvest of Indian corn being gathered in, they fitted their houses and made their arrangements against the coming winter. And now, while some were employed in service abroad and some in fishing to furnish for each family a goodly supply, others again were engaged in hunting, procuring, among other game, waterfowl, wild turkey, and venison. Can you imagine their bows and arrows? And they may have had a rifle or two with powder, but, you know, These people were praying to God for the deer to come close and the rabbits and the pheasants and the turkeys, you know. Anyways, of meal or Indian corn, one peck of wheat for each person was the apportioned supply, one peck. Of other meal or wheat, they had none, nor had they any mill for grinding. Therefore, their corn must be pounded or mashed by their own hands. Yet even this supply being deemed sufficient for the present colonists caused some of them to write home to their friends in England in more glowing terms than was prudent or warrantable. The effect was that these descriptions of plenty induced subsequent emigrants to come without bringing with them their needful stores. The provision for the little colony being secured for the ensuing winter, the governor set apart a day for public thanksgiving. Accordingly, with the fruits of their labor, the thankful feast was prepared that all might in a special manner rejoice together under a grateful sense of their tokens of divine mercy. How anybody can look and say that America is not destined to be in God or established in God is because they choose to not see or know the true history of America. And just because you choose to be blind does not make it not so. Can I get an amen from anybody? Let's keep reading.
The great amen.
Amen. Thank you, Raj. You need to slow that down a little bit so I can find my place. The great amen. All right. It was their first Thanksgiving or harvest festival in the New World, and we may well conjecture what were the feelings and what the theme of the elder as assembled in the common house. He led the devotions of these worshipers and spoke to them with words befitting the occasion. The occasion was likewise improved as a fit time to interest favorably influenced the neighboring Indians. Among other recreations, says Winslow, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst us, and with them came their greatest king, Massasoit, accompanied by some 90 men, whom for 3 days were entertained and feasted. They also went out and killed 5 deer, with which they brought to the plantation, bestowed on our governor and upon the captain and others. And we thought it be not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us. Yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we wish our friends partake with us.
Oh.
Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this brought to an conclusion the first year's trials, hardships, and suffering. Now, this is Edward Winslow, Plymouth, New England, 11 December 1621. We set the last spring some 20 acres of Indian corn and sowed 6 acres of barley and peas.
That's really good.
That's doing good. And according to the manner of the Indians, we manured our ground with herons or rather shads, which we have in great abundance and take with great ease at our doors. Our corn did prove well, and God be praised, we had a good increase of Indian corn. Isn't that something? And our barley, indifferent good, peas not worth the gathering. For we feared they were too late sown. They came up very well and blossomed, but the sun parched them in the blossom. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent forth men on fowling so that we might after have a special manner rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. Don't worry about all that weird English. That's just how they talk. They 4 in one day killed as much as with a little help beside, served the company almost a week. at which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms. Oh, and then here comes the Massasoit. Yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that often we wish our partakers joined us. Now, this is a household history of our country. And this was, I don't see it, but it'll be here. We have observed toward the close that the pilgrims at Plymouth rejoiced in abundance of food in the autumn of 1641. Now listen to this. Thereby their hearts were filled with gratitude, and after the fruits of their labors had all been gathered, Governor sent out huntsmen to bring in supplies for a general and common thanksgiving. This was the first celebration of the great New England Festival of Thanksgiving. Great quantities of wild turkeys and deer were gathered at Plymouth, and for 3 days the pilgrims indulged in rejoicing, firing of guns, and feasting, entertaining at the same time King Massasoit and 90 of his dusky followers, who contributed 5 deer to the banquet. Well, that's a well-substantiated fact, isn't it? Seven substantial houses have been built during the summer. The inhabitants are in good health. Few immigrants have come on a second ship, and they are very happy in their home in the wilderness. Isn't it fun to read the writings of people that are actually there, and it's like there ain't nobody got to add no words there because you can't change what those people were saying.
Right.
But
I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying listening to this a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Father, we thank you for Brother David Barton and Wall Builders and how determined they are to tell the story, the true story, and not just let the facts be all mingled up. And thank you that they're very serious about accuracy. Aren't you glad they're serious about accuracy?
Yeah.
Oh, give me just a second here. Now, this one is written by there it is, William Bradford. And thus they found the Lord to be with them in all their ways, and to bless their outgoings and incomings, for which let his holy name have the praise forever to all posterity. William Bradford. Can you imagine what it was like for them to have so many people die of dysentery on the ship?
Oh my.
And there was nothing you could do.
Horrible.
The waters were extremely severe, and they were embarking on a whole new world, you know. And then to land, and you got, after a while, somebody dies, they probably had to just throw them off the edge of the ship, you know, and to watch your loved one go over and bury them at sea, you know. So anyways, this is not a personal account. They got it up here, so it's got to be a good one. Let's just read it. Out of many historical celebrations of Thanksgiving, the most well-known and closely emulated was the Feast of the Pilgrims, as they celebrated the goodness of God in keeping them alive through a hard season and providing them with food and shelter to face the coming winter. I mean, think about Samoset and who was the other one I just said that? Anyways, the other Indian. Of all the Indians that could have showed up to them, there was very, very wicked Indians that would have killed them all.
Yeah.
And yet God, by the angels, took care of them. Now, it's not in this story. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is, but let's keep reading. If it's not here, I'll share it with you in just a minute. All right? To a hard season. One of those attending what is known as the First Thanksgiving was Pilgrim's newly chosen governor, William Bradford. As a young orphan, William Bradford sought revelation through the Bible. Living near Scrooby, England, he became acquainted with the Puritans and the separatist movement. Drawn by the simplicity of their services and their commitment to both religious and political reforms, he joined the congregation despite his family's disapproval. When the English threatened permanent imprisonment for those who criticized the corrupt practices of both the state and the church, the Scrooby Church fled to Amsterdam to take refuge from the growing persecution. Now, I know that my dad's relative, my relatives in the Lathrop family, his name was John Lathrop, wasn't that what it was, mm-hmm. I think? He was thrown in prison because he started a home church, not going to the state church in England. Now, following a decade of relative peace in Holland, the religious climate became volatile due to a potential looming war with Spain and the secular behavior of the Dutch. So the Pilgrims therefore decided to start a new English colony in America. At 30 years of age, William Bradford and his wife Dorothy left behind their four-year-old son to make the perilous journey along with 100 other congregation members. While anchored off the coast of the New World, Dorothy fell overboard and drowned.
Wow.
Over the following winter, one half of the 102 colonists died from hunger, exposure, or disease. In 1621, following that brutal winter, William Bradford was chosen governor of the colony to replace John Carver, one of those who had died. With the exception of a few years, he continued to serve in the capacity for virtually the rest of his life. William Bradford. And what a price they paid for our freedom right here in the United States of America. It's not in this particular segment right here, but one of the stories that is told on this is told that England had decided to come and cause them all to go home. And they sent the British to force them to go to close the colony. And by the Holy Spirit, William Bradford said to everyone, it's come upon me that we must fast and pray for 3 days. And at the very time when the British Navy was coming, they fasted and prayed for 3 days, and the most horrendous storm came, ship sank, and they turned around and went home. And he had no idea they were coming to get him. You and I have a heritage of the Word of God in prayer that is like none other nation in the world. This nation was founded for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel to the whole world and for freedom of religion. All of these isms, it's not us. That's why you see me so passionately stand against it, because it's not who we are. They have no right. They have no claim. They have no historic authority here. This nation was founded on the word of God by great men and women of God. And thank you, Father, for it. Isn't that something? I thought I had one more video here. But it doesn't seem to have showed up like my clickers are supposed to be clicking. How dare the clickers not click right? Wait, let me try it one more time. Oh, come on. It'll be all right. Well, there was one more video here, but it's all right. Don't know why it didn't show up, but one thing we've learned to do around here is just be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Now,
keep on getting muted.
Well, no, what's happening is I keep getting this feedback over here.
Okay.
So when that happens, I just mute everybody, and then so it's not just you being muted, brother. It's like whenever I get some feedback on my end, I just click the mute all, and then it always stops it, and we keep right on going. Well, guys, I had one more here, but I think I'm just going to read this right here. We kind of heard this. That's all right. Let's just read this.
All right.
You ready?
You're ready.
Because I enjoy reading. Don't you like reading? I think it's really cool. The Pilgrims set sail on September 6, 1620. You'd think they would have had a better plan than to sail in September. But maybe they were rushed out and they didn't have a choice. Anyways, and for 2 months braved the harsh elements of a storm-tossed sea. Upon disembarking at Plymouth Rock, they held a prayer service, hastily began building shelters. However, unprepared for such a harsh New England winter, half of them died before spring. Emerging from the grueling winter, the Pilgrims were surprised when an Indian named Samoset approached them and greeted them in their own language. Makes you wonder if he was an angel. Yeah, explaining to them that he had learned English from fishermen and traders. A week later, Samoset returned with a friend named Squanto, there we go, who lived with the pilgrims, accepted their Christian faith. Squanto taught the pilgrims about how to live in the new world. Think about it. You're a pilgrim in a new world, and you know nothing, and there is no one here. But God, by faith, sends you someone. A Native American who somehow learns the English language from fishermen, which they don't talk very good English, fishermen. But anyways, and somehow this man finds the pilgrims. See, you can't say somehow. You have to say, God be thanked and God be praised.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll keep reading. I get fired up about it. But Squanto taught the pilgrims about how to live in the new world. And Samoset helped forge a long-lasting peace treaty between the pilgrims and the Wampanoag Indians. Governor William Bradford described Squanto as a special instrument sent for our good. And he never left us till he died. Isn't that amazing? That summer, the pilgrims still persevering in prayer. So that was the most important part about it, is that they were still persevering in prayer. And assisted by helpful Indians, reaped a bountiful harvest. God be praised. We read this. We had a good increase of Indian corn. By the goodness of God, we are far from want. But, of course, can you imagine going from three kernels to, I mean, having a peck a week? That's pretty good. I mean, you're in high cotton here, as the old saying goes. 90 Indians joined the 50 pilgrims for 3 days of feasting, which included shellfish, lobster. Indians knew how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey, cornbread, berries, deer, and other foods. Of play, the young pilgrim and the Indian men engaged in races, wrestling matches, and athletic events. And prayer.
Love that.
And prayer. This celebration and its accompanying activities were the origin of the holiday that Americans now celebrate each November. We have our own form of wrestling matches. It's called football. And when the Lions play, it's not too much football. It's just everybody get together and scream and holler. Don't worry about that. Now, the pilgrims enjoyed times of prosperity for which they thank God. They also suffered extreme hardship. 1623, they experienced an extended and prolonged drought. Knowing that without a change in the weather, there would be no harvest and the winter would be filled with death and starvation, Governor Bradford called the pilgrims to a time of prayer and fasting to seek God's direct intervention. Think about it. He's 30 years old and he watched his wife drowned, or, you know, whether he watched, but she fell over and drowned. Significantly, shortly after the time of prayer, and to the great amazement of the Indians who witnessed the scene, clouds appeared in the sky and a gentle and steady rain began to fall. Governor Bradford explained, "It came without either wind or thunder or in any violence, and by degrees in abundance, as that ye earth was thoroughly wet and soaked therewith, which did so apparently revive and quicken ye decayed corn and other fruits, as was wonderful to see, and made ye Indians astonished to behold. And afterwards, The Lord sent them such seasonable showers with interchange of fair warm weather as through his blessing caused a fruitful and liberal harvest to their no small comfort and rejoicing. I love it. The drought had been broken. The fall, therefore, produced an abundant harvest.
Hallelujah.
There was cause for another Thanksgiving. Can you imagine the Indians standing there watching them call on God? And, you know, it's like Elijah, I see a small cloud. You better start running. The pilgrim practice of designating the official time of harvest spread into the neighboring colonies and became an annual tradition. And just as those neighboring colonies followed the pilgrim's example, calling for days of thanksgiving, so too did they adopt their practice of calling for a time of prayer and fasting. The New England colonies, therefore, developed a practice of calling for a day of prayer and fasting in the spring and a day of prayer and thanksgiving in the fall. The Thanksgiving celebrations, so common throughout New England, did not begin to spread south until the American Revolution, when Congress issued 8 separate national Thanksgiving proclamations. Congress also issued 7 proclamations for times of fasting and prayer, for a total of 15 official proclamations during the American Revolution for prayer and fasting. Is it any wonder that we won when our General George Washington's men did not even have shoes for their feet at Valley Forge? Do you know the last thing George Washington said to the men before they crossed the Potomac?
I do.
What?
Get in the boat.
Get in the boat. You're a pretty smart lady. America's first national Thanksgiving occurred in 1789 with the commencement of the federal government, according to the congressional record. Now listen to this. For September 25th of that year, the first act that the framers completed, the framing of the Bill of Rights, was that Mr. Elias Boudinot said he could not think of letting the session pass without offering an opportunity to all the citizens of the United States of joining with one voice and returning to the Almighty God their sincere thanks for the many blessings he poured down upon them. With this view, therefore, he would move the following resolution. Here we go. Resolve that a joint committee of both houses be directed to wait upon the president of the United States to request that he would recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. Mr. Roger Sherman justified the practice of thanksgiving on any single event not only as a laudable one in itself, but also as warranted by a number of precedents in the Holy Writ, the Bible. This example he thought worthy of a Christian imitation on the present occasion. Guys, make sure tomorrow at your house and your family, if you have the leadership, to lead them into a prayer of thanksgiving, because that is the very root of what this is. That congressional resolution was delivered to President George Washington, who heartily concurred with the request and issued, ready, the first federal Thanksgiving proclamation declaring in part, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God,
hallelujah,
to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor. Therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, 26th day of November, 1789, that we may all unite to render unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and his protection. You know, there are thousands and thousands, and probably it would be safe to say millions of believers who are in prayer and fasting for this great nation. And that's where Sister Leanne and I are. And we are going to remain there as directed by the Holy Spirit of God, because America must return to our roots.
Amen.
This is our roots. All of this secular humanism, that's not our roots. That's not who we are at all. All right, I got one more paragraph here, and then we'll go into our communion elements. The same year, the Protestant Episcopal Church, of which President Washington was a member, announced that the first Thursday in November would become its regular day for giving thanks, unless another day be appointed by the civil authorities. Following President Washington's initial proclamation, national Thanksgiving proclamations occurred only sporadically, another by President Washington in 1795, one by John Adams in 1798, and again in 1799, James Madison in 1814 and 1815. Most official Thanksgiving observances occurred at the state level. In fact, by 1815, the various state governments had issued at least, listen to this, 1,400 official prayer proclamations, almost half for times of thanksgiving and prayer, and the other times for times of fasting and prayer. Now, when you think about that, this is going to totally put us into the place. We do fasting and prayer, you know, Jesus, I want to get closer to you. They did fasting and prayer to save this nation. To save this, right? Just use one of these, though. To save this nation. They used it to save this nation. And you and I can do the same thing. We can. I love this. Let's listen to this. This is from the lady. Let's see. This is from Abraham Lincoln. The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields. This is 1863. So this is after the war. Anyways, fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties which our soul constantly enjoyed, that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are of so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. No human counsel has devised, nor has any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger, and for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. That's Abraham Lincoln. That remarkable Thanksgiving proclamation came at a pivotal point in Lincoln's spiritual life. 3 months earlier, the Battle of Gettysburg had occurred, resulting in the loss of 60,000 American lives. It had been while Lincoln was walking among the thousands of graves that he first committed his life to Christ, as later he explained to a clergyman. And if you remember, our Patriot Prayer of Dedication comes from the Gettysburg Address when Lincoln dedicated Gettysburg as a national cemetery. I didn't know that's where he committed his life to Christ, but that would definitely cause a change in your Christian life. When I left Springfield, Illinois to assume the presidency, I asked people to pray for me. I was not a Christian. When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I went to Gettysburg and saw the graves of thousands of soldiers, I then and there consecrated myself to Christ. Wow. I'm learning a lot tonight just reading this to you guys. I said one paragraph, but how do you stop? Do I just stop? The dramatic spiritual impact resulting from that experience was not only visible in Lincoln's Thanksgiving Day proclamation and also his 1864 call for a day of fasting and prayer, but especially in 65, his second inaugural address. Over the 75 years following Lincoln's Thanksgiving proclamation, presidents faithfully followed Lincoln's precedent, annually declaring a national Thanksgiving Day. But the date varied until Franklin D. Roosevelt in 41. As you celebrate Thanksgiving this year, remember to retain this original gratefulness to God that has always been the spirit of this, the oldest of all American holidays. I'd never thought about that fact like that. Samuel Adams. Congress recommend a day, Thanksgiving and praise, so that the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and join their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ. You can say whatever you want about our founding fathers, but listen to their writings.
Yeah, oh my.
Through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive our sins and to enlarge his kingdom, which consisteth in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Continental Congress, 1777. Right out of the book of Romans, righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Thomas Jefferson, I appoint a day of public thanksgiving to Almighty God, to ask him that he would pour out his Holy Spirit on all ministers of the gospel, that he would spread the light of Christian knowledge through the remotest corners of the earth, and that he would establish these United States upon the basis of religion and virtue. Governor Thomas Jefferson, 1779. Governor John Hancock, he's the guy with the big signature. I appointed a public thanksgiving and praise to render to God the tribute and praise for his unmerited goodness toward us by giving to us the Holy Scriptures, which are able to enlighten and make us wise to eternal salvation. You don't get that by not being a student. This is a student of the Word of God. And to present our supplications that he would forgive our manifold sins and cause the benign religion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be known, understood, and practiced among all the inhabitants of the earth. Governor John Hancock, 1790. And with that, I conclude my readings, Thanksgiving Day 2022. But that was good, wasn't it?
It was good, yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
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 We're not giving anybody the opportunity to be opposed. Well, that's good. That's wonderful. And maybe we can go farther and find more. I like to hear their own personal writings as it's right out of their stuff. And, you know, I had a page of it up here that was all quotations from their writings and don't know. Well, let's pray and then we'll receive communion together. Father, in obedience to you, because you said to give you thanks in all things, not for all things, we give you thanks right now today. Thank you that you have very, very specifically given this group of believers the assignment, the courage, and the follow-through to every day bow in thanksgiving and honor of Jesus' blood and his righteousness. It's not a ritual to me, Jesus. It's not a ritual. And I thank you that you've helped every one of us keep it alive, keep it real, so that the glory of you, Jesus, our risen Savior, is in our heart and in our mind every day of our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You said to the disciples, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. You knew it would be the last Passover ever necessary. You knew within 24 hours you would give your life and you would land in hell with all of the righteousness of God your Father. And you would annihilate our enemy and give us the greatest victory there ever was. And we pause now. We give you the glory. And we give you the honor. And we give you the praise. You alone are worthy, Jesus. We focus our hearts and our minds in on you now. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's just sing our song together. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be that sanctuary for to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. Be that living sanctuary for you, Jesus. We worship you tonight. We worship you. We thank you that even though there's many people all over the world that this, to them this is just a ritual, we worship you today. I want to sing that song, I Exalt You. Do we know it? I exalt you. I exalt you. I exalt you. Oh, Lord. I exalt you. I exalt you, I exalt you, O Lord, for thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou exalted high above all gods, for thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted high above gods. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We honor you. And we adore you. We don't just make those statements up. You went to hell having lived in the righteousness that the Father gave you. You said it. And then you said you gave that righteousness to us. And we get to live in it. We get to become the righteousness of God through you, Jesus, our Lord. Oh, we thank you. 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 In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty, 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 mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, all of you that's with us on Zoom, make sure you stick around with us after we finish with communion. We'll say a few more things at the end that's just to us, the community of faith. So make sure you stick around. Now, Let's read our verses, and we will receive. Do I have a Bible? Did I, the pastor, come without my Bible? Would you bring this in for me? You didn't? You don't know if you did? I didn't necessarily remember myself, but maybe the angels brought it in for me. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Those of you that are with us, this might be a different communion service than you've seen. It's the assignment God gave to us, and that's what we do. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, verse 31, and then 1 John. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, burial, resurrection. Infallible proofs to the disciples and his ascension to the things of God. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. I love it. Perfect love. Cast out fear and all the torment, all the trauma that goes with it. Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. If that's the case, now is your opportunity. We'll pray this prayer. And maybe you're rededicating your life tonight. That works too. If you've never been born again, this is the prayer you pray to be born again. Become a Christian. People have so many different statements that they make. And pray this with us. I'll pray. Sister Leanne will pray. You join with her. 2 minutes. You'll be right with God. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
I know I need you in my life.
When I believe in you,
you said you would give me everlasting life. And I will not perish. Now, this is where you make that bold declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your arms out and just say it. I receive you into my life, Lord.
I receive you into my life, Lord.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life. With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God. Pray in my heavenly language.
And
live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. That's the first time you prayed that prayer. Tonight we want to say welcome to the kingdom of God. You have just now become born again. You might say, Pastor, what's going on? Well, there's a whole lot that's going on in your life right now. And just a small portion of it is this. God Almighty, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, just came to live on the inside of your life. God Almighty just did. Now, what's that mean? Well, you didn't get a church, you didn't get a religion, you didn't get a denomination. You got God living inside of you. It's not just a cute little thing that we say about Jesus, since Jesus came into my heart. It is that God Almighty said, I will make my dwelling place in you.
Amen.
And now you and I become the temple of the Holy Spirit. In that process, all of your sins are covered, purged, and washed away. In that one prayer. Jesus came in. When Jesus fills you, all the rest of it's got to go. 2 Corinthians 5:17 just said, you've just now been made into a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. You might say, Pastor, how will I ever understand all of this? Just one day at a time. Here's the greatest thing you need to remember from this prayer you just prayed. God, your Father, just came to live on the inside of you. God did. And now he's leading you from in here out. Not way up there in heaven with a big stick ready to club you if you do anything wrong. He's in here leading you as a father into daily life with him. See, that's a completely different picture. Will you go to church? Yeah, he'll eventually lead you to a church. Right now, he's led you to us, so be with us. Will you be a part of an organization? Well, you may very well be. We are somewhat of an organization right here. All right? But the difference is, we're not going to give you a handbook from our organization and say, here, learn this. We're going to tell you, get you a Bible. I recommend a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. You'll be able to go back and see this right on the video. Why? Because it's filled with the Bible study tools. That's just the Bible study in the Bible. Bunch of man's commentary. Time for communion. You have to be quiet. Now, that's what we just recommend. Get your Bible, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Why? Because it tells you the life of Jesus, how he lived a life that was perfect for you and I, and then it shows you the example of what the church looks like as it began after Jesus' ascension, and that's what the church still looks like. If you truly know God Almighty and are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then stick with us. We have several different programs. Encourage you to listen to our program called Read the Word. It has been broadcast almost every day. We just missed another day here, but it's all right. We got it done, and we made it all the way to Michigan, and we're learning how to make all that come to pass. But anyways, we're reading through the Bible this year chronologically. There's a playlist that you can connect to. It'll lead you from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations. We'll finish on time on December 31st, and we will have read the whole Bible chronologically together
in
1 year out loud. It's been an amazing experience. We want you to be a part of it. Grab your communion elements, get you some grape juice and bread, get you some water and bread, whatever you got in your house. And you are now ready to receive the Holy Communion elements together with us. Hundreds of people have received their first communion right here online with this gathering of believers, this ecclesia, wonderful men and women of God. Bless our elements, and we'll receive them together. Pray this with me, Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I bless these elements.
I bless these
elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your body, Lord. In the body of Christ within my community.
In the body of Christ within my community.
And right here in this community of faith. Now don't miss this. And all the way around the world to Julian and Bamala. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive his broken body together. The body of Christ. And now, we lift up the cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus. The most powerful cleansing force there is. Pause for just a minute. I apologize. I got crumbs that have got to go so they don't go that way. Here we go. Let's lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Now this is one of the most important declarations about the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome the accuser of the brethren. And there's no more condemnation in my life. By the blood of Jesus, every plague must pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague must pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive the blood of Jesus together. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. We'd like to sing a song about the blood. Let's sing this one. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Excuse me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Hallelujah. Well, there you go. Thanks for coming out, guys. All of you that joined us on YouTube, God bless you. All of you that joined us from around the world on Blog Talk Radio, God bless you. We love you. Ready? Put your hands out with me and just do this. We reap the net right now tonight.
We reap the net right now tonight.
And gather every soul into the kingdom. Help everyone who heard us tonight. To have the spirit of revelation and understanding. And know that you are their Lord and Savior. Of their life in Jesus' mighty name. Sister Phyllis, you got the closing verses?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire,
wow,
hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And also Revelation 1:5-6, please.
Yes.
And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I love that.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. He's made us kings and priests to God. I love
amen.
It. Amen. You ready? Put your hands up like this and say, I receive the hundredfold return.
I receive the hundredfold return
that belongs to me because I am in covenant with you.
that belong
to me, because I am in covenant with you, Lord.
So we can preach the gospel right here on this earth.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Until we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you.
God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.
Now remember.
And Jesus is Lord.
Tomorrow morning and tomorrow night, we'll not have a program. Thanksgiving, be with your family. Friday night, we'll have a program, I do believe. And Saturday night, that's our question and answer session. We'll work on that and see where we end up. All right? That's just going to depend on a bunch of things that's got to happen with other people, but that's all right. So just stay connected to our Facebook page and you'll watch it, our messenger.
Right? We'll be on the road.
We'll make something happen Saturday night. We'll make something happen. So, till we see you again, have a wonderful Thanksgiving Day tomorrow.
Yes,
eat
yes,
lots of turkey, pumpkin pie, or whatever it is you like. Even if it's that weird holiday fruitcake. That stuff is weird, but if you like it.
I love you all very much. Y'all take care.
We love you, too.
Love you, too, Phyllis.
You, too, Phyllis. Have a happy holiday.
Thank you. You too.
Now, for those of you on Zoom, stick with us here for just a second.